Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
2023, everyone.
Don't we have another minute to go, or is that now? We're going now.
No, I'm just welcoming the early attendees.
Just warming up your voice.
Yeah. Where are you this week to start off the new year, Rob? You look like you're in some kind of storage unit or something.
I'm in my storm bunker.
Ah,
the West is getting hit by, you know, storm, cyclone, bomb, atmospheric rivers. Yeah, these folks at NASA dream up all these things about space that gives them some job security. I think all these meteorologists dream up different names for storms, you know, bomb, cyclone, tornado, blah, blah, blah. But I'm in my storm shelter, and
what is it like 50 and raining there?
Raining, snowing, sleeting, the wind, you know, houses are getting carried away, dogs are flying through the air. Just but Robbie, you'll find this. I just came from the attorney, and I wore this tie, which was your great grandfather's tie. It's quite impressive. It's always a conversation piece.
I didn't know we were esteemed enough to refer to people in our life as the attorney. I didn't even know you had an attorney.
It's the show attorney. Dead. Yeah, some of the comments that have been made, we've had to bring one on a retainer.
Yeah, but Rich, you'll be happy to know that I've tapped into the mother load here.
Oh boy. Oh, I know that year. That's 60. What is that? 69? 68? Oh man.
Little Sandy Koufax right in the opening page here. And yeah, I guess I could look up like the Ohio or no Cleveland. Sorry. Here's Roberto Clemente. But a particular, there's Kurt Flood, but of particular interest, I did locate.
Oh, there they are. Oh my. See now that card, you really shouldn't even be handling it that casually.
There's actually two or three in there.
That's an iconic legendary sports collectible that you've got three of them just jammed into the one pocket of a plastic sleeve and are handling like it's
I don't know. You're right. I'm afraid to like touch. I don't want to like.
What do the corners look like? How sharp are the corners?
I was going to make some quip about as sharp as my son, but
if those things have sharp corners, they're worth gobs of money. Let me just save you the drama.
They're okay. They're safe and sound. And oh my gosh! But I started flipping. I know we're here to talk about mortgages, but I started flipping through the pages, and here's Louis Tiant, who. I hope she doesn't get mad that I mentioned her name. Patty Connolly with Prime Lending used to live near.
Okay.
And see him tootling around the neighborhood in his fancy Cadillac.
Get an autograph on that thing. If you have a Reggie, that is also the year of Reggie Jackson's rookie card that is also worth a large amount.
Really? Well, why don't you launch into the conversation? And I'll kind of flip through.
Well, let's do that. So,
who was he a rookie with?
Athletics.
Here's Roberto Clemente.
Yeah. So, well, happy 2023, everyone. Rich Swarbinski with the Mortgage Collaborative, back year number three of the Rundown with Rob and Rich, the first edition of 2023 after taking a week off. And as always, my esteemed colleague and co-host and owner of many rare sports collectibles that our other co-host and son hopes to inherit one day, Rob Crisman. Rob, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Happy New Year. I mentioned my commentary today. You know, you reach a certain point where you don't know whether to say Happy New Year anymore or not. But anyway, we digress. We digress.
Also, happy to be joined this week, regular show contributor, Rob Sun, lifetime industry professional, Robbie Crisman. Robbie, great to see you. How did the holiday and New Year treat you?
It was very good. Contributor is a strong term.
Rob went on that secret hiatus for like a month. You were a big part of the show last year. So I still don't know where that secret hiatus was, but maybe it can be fodder for some 2023 editions of the show. So
what do you think? What do you think Joe Pepitone is doing right now, Rich?
Is he alive still? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe he's listening to the rundown. Joe, if you're listening, comment in the chat. So
here's a quick aside, and I'll drop the baseball card stuff. So here's Lou Brock. And you'll notice that he really did sign these. And he signed these. I was an A's season ticket holder, and Ricky Henderson was going to break his record. And he was going to the games regularly, waiting for Ricky Henderson to break his record. And so I'm like, oh, there's Lou Brock. And so the next time I went to the game, I brought these baseball cards and got him to sign those. And he said, you know, when I sign these, that's going to ruin these cards. And I said, I don't care. Huh?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I said, sign them anyway. I don't care. That's cool.
4X multiple of the value. No, he was wrong. But Lou Brock, great player. I think it's a second year Brock card. Those also look to be in great shape. You got to get all those graded, Rob. PSA, Google it. Send those things into PSA, get them professionally graded, $15 a piece. And it's going to increase the value of all of them immensely. So,
all right. That'll be Robbie's project. When I'm laid up with a stroke after having an aneurysm or something, when he's caring for me, then he can deal with this grading stuff.
You know, I'd be more inclined to do so if photos of my sister didn't dominate your walls versus photos of me.
Oh, the favorite child card. Oh, ouch. Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's always glowing about his daughter, the teacher. You know, glowing about you as well, Robbie. But I will
admit, well, not quite and, as free- and Rich, you know, I have told you that Robbie is going to be an Uncle Robbie. I did tell you that.
Oh, that's right. So, congratulations.
Word has leaked out that it'll be an Uncle Robbie.
Maybe that'll get him ahead of Myrtle on the Rob Crisman totem pole.
I don't know. That's a high bar.
Oh, too funny. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. As always, you know by now, evidenced by the current state of the chat, don't hesitate to chime in, and we'll go ahead and incorporate it in the show. A lot of funny baseball card jokes and anecdotes already in there that we'll try to weave in as we get into it. So, Rob, an optimistic start to the new year after, you know, obviously what was not a great year. Last year, rates had kind of been moving downward. And then have another little rally in the bond market, mortgage bond markets this week. And then we got the first big economic number of the year this morning, the December jobs report. Could not have been better. Expected new jobs in December, 223,000 versus 200 expected. So slightly better than anticipated. The unemployment rate in America fell to what is damn near an all-time low of 3.5%. Within that, we saw the labor force expand, something we've talked about, something we're going to need to see to help get out of this as seamlessly as possible. Yet employers weren't hiring like crazy. And then the most important component to the report, which really has caused the stock and bond and mortgage bond markets to rally today, the wage growth component of it, up only 0.3% month over month. More importantly, the year-over-year wage growth number was expected to be up 5%, up only 4.6%. To put in context, the 0.3% wage growth increase from November to December and how positive that is, wage growth the 3 months prior had been 4.1% total, just within those 3 months. So to get a month of flat wage growth, healthy, but not insane hiring, And now we've got a series here of three or four major economic numbers in a row where the inflation components have been more optimistic than expected. And it feels like an optimistic tone to start the new year. And your thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I like the numbers. It's hard to argue with the numbers that came out this morning for December's employment picture, although I'm sure plenty of pundits and economists want to earn their keep and pick it apart. But needless to say, the market is reacting as one would expect. And the key number there is the inflation, what impact this is going to have on inflation. And you're right, Rich, the wage growth slowing down a little bit is exactly what we need and what the Fed wants to see. And it's not as if these numbers are going to change the behavior of the Fed by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they'll probably still go up a half or three quarters of the next meeting. But nonetheless, as we've talked about, the moves that the Federal Reserve makes tend to be like turning an aircraft carrier. It takes a while for them to have an impact. And I think we're seeing an impact already. So that's not to say that the economy is doing poorly. In fact, I think the economy continues to be on pretty good footing. People are using up some of their savings. However, people point to credit card debt increasing. People point to the savings rate decreasing. And of course, the savings rate is going to decline from COVID, where everybody was saving 20 or 25% of their paycheck every month because they didn't have anywhere to spend it. So of course, that's going to decline. But nonetheless, today's number is a very good sign that, you know, things are starting to change here somewhat. And the U.S. economy, you know, there's all kinds of things going on with the economy, but the number today was very good. And but, you know, it's tough out there for folks. And I saw the headline today, something about a rich session instead of a recession, a rich session, meaning that if we do have some kind of downturn, it'll impact perhaps the more affluent more than the less affluent. I know that last time, Rich, I was in Cleveland, I was standing there and this guy comes up to me and he says, hey, do you see any cops around here? And I said, no. He goes, good, stick them up. So like that one, I'll be here all week. No. So there is, I got Ravi to smile. My day is complete. I'll get him to smile again here. Ravi.
Just sold for $1,000 in the chat as a PSA 5, which is, you know, kind of beat up condition.
Well, this has spoke marks. So anyway, but no, the numbers this morning was very, very good. And I wanted to ask Ravi, because Ravi definitely has his finger on the pulse of housing market and the real estate market. Heck, Robbie's been in this business since he was 15 years old. So like half his life. And Ravi, I know that you have thoughts on the housing market for 2023 in terms of where we might go and so on. Sean Williams, that was a Nolan, two or three Nolan Ryan rookie cards. I don't want to open the pouch, but anyway, Ravi, what's looking to, you know, what can listeners and viewers think about in terms of 2023 housing and real estate market?
You know, even if home price appreciation slows as is predicted or turns negative by the end of 2023, I still don't think we're talking about some sort of housing crash. We're talking about single digit appreciation after, you know, double digit appreciation the last couple of years. I do want to touch on the jobs report today, though. And as Rich alluded, it is kind of this pie in the sky outcome where the Fed said, okay, you know, we're going to fight inflation at the expense of the labor market. And their main concern is wage increases, because that's what's driving inflation. But if they're still seeing strong jobs growth at the same time as wage pressures are moderating, that's more than they could have asked or hoped for, which is great. I mean, the Fed in general in this inflationary environment has identified three basic inputs supply chain issues stemming from the pandemic, which are largely fixed. Housing, which, as I just said, you know, price pressures are expected to fade by the summer. And services excluding housing, which is service sector wage growth. And that's really the focus of the Fed as they're trying to avoid a wage price spiral like we saw in the 1970s. This report couldn't have been any better. But, you know, a important thing to keep in mind is it's about market expectations versus reality. And we haven't seen a huge move in the market as a result of this report.
It's crazy. I was reading today, the last 2 years, the U.S. economy has added 11 million jobs, starting with the first winter of the pandemic when things started to kind of get back going a little bit. But 11 million new jobs added to the U.S. economy over that period of time. So you talk about all these components of hiring and wages that are stoking inflation and obviously plays a big part of it. Also, this month's report was 24 straight months of job growth as well. Another big milestone.
That 11 million figure, Rich, matches the outflow from mortgage banking jobs, which has our industry has lost 11 million. So there's been a huge shift. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, that's not even funny. But tomorrow morning, not to talk up my Saturday commentary, but I have a huge section dedicated to the outflow of mortgage banking and mortgage brokerage jobs. So check that out. As you might imagine, it's not very good. But yeah, Robbie's right. This was a great report. It's silly to pick it apart. It's a very good report. The Fed should be happy with it. And you know, nothing to see here. Let's move along. And it's pretty good news.
Another report this morning from Redfin, a record number of concessions made by sellers of homes as a percentage in December. Again, not a surprise, but how the tides have turned. I mean, Robbie, you bought your house last year. I bought one about a year and a half ago. When we did so, it was such a seller's market. Sellers had all the leverage, really. Now, Robbie, it feels like buyers have all the leverage, right? Rates are high and people are on the sideline. People that are selling now, a lot of them kind of have to for some reason. And it's a real advantageous market for buyers right now, no?
It is. Although I might not have a house. I want to show you this video from this week. Those are about 60-foot rocks, the view from my house that these waves are crashing over. So I took off from my office here away from the ocean, and I almost had a tree fall on me coming down the coast. So I don't know if I'll be able to make it back. I don't know if the house is standing. There are positive signs in the housing market, but I think one thing to keep in mind, housing's traditionally led the economy out of recessions. But when it has led the economy out of recessions, it's averaged about 2 million units in the early stage recoveries. Housing starts are still depressed. We're around 1.5 million annual units currently. And yeah, that's been the average since the 1950s, but we have a heck of a lot more people in this nation than we did 7 years ago. And the National Association of Realtors, I think, has estimated a 5 million to 6 million unit deficit in needed housing. Demand is there. Home building can't stay depressed forever, although you don't build what people can't afford to buy. As home price appreciation slows a little bit, I think that'll really, you know, spur people to get off the sidelines.
So I did see a chat note flash up from Lisa that banks are closing in Kansas. Do either one of you know anything about that? Or maybe Lisa, you could throw something else in the chat room. I haven't heard of any bank closures going on. For, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there were banks. The FDIC was closing banks. Is this, I'm hoping this is just, you know, branches consolidating rather than banks going out of business. NASB just closed internet. Well, I haven't heard. One of the things that you would think going into a recession or even a depression would be bank closures. And I've not heard that. I haven't heard anybody talking about bank closures for a while. So certainly mortgage companies, though, are transitioning either, you know, a lot of them are either closing or merging. And the, Bank of America closing some branches. Okay. Yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah, I sometimes you go into these bank branches. I mean, I don't have a debit card, so I'm old school. So I go into the branch and the tellers know me. And sometimes you could shoot a cannon off in these bank branches and not hit anybody. So yeah, bank branches are being underutilized. Then bank failures. Huh. All right. I'll have to check that out. Thank you.
I mean, anyway, being honest, you know, 80% of banks that have been around for more than 8 years all have probably more brick and mortar than they want or need right now. It probably will just be, my guess is, a natural transition away from more traditional branches and brick and mortar into more online just over time. Something you'd think you see. I feels like there's probably, you know, maybe one more round of layoffs from the big organizations that will probably come. That stuff, we remember last year, because it was like there was very little job loss in the mortgage industry last year in the fourth quarter. It all happened after the new year. And if you remember correctly, a lot of that had to do with the Zoom, the better.com guy, the Zoom video going viral. I mean, honestly, you know, and people told me this candidly that own companies, I mean, it terrified people from firing people, you know, for a couple vital months in the mortgage industry. I mean, so, but
what happened to better.com? I've not seen better.com in the headlines for months and months now. Are they still in business?
Robbie, any intel? I don't know anything.
That's supposed to be your sponsor for this opening week of the year. And then
I think they never went public, and they brought in some new investor that, you know, wanted a lot of things changed. That was last update I saw, but that was probably 6 months ago. That thing never goes public, I could tell you.
Yeah. But the good news is, getting back to the actual discussion here, Rich, and the economy and Robbie, the the numbers this morning were very, very good. You're right, Robbie. Housing does tend to lead the economy. Housing is the housing starts and so forth. Purchase business is down a little bit. Part of that is seasonal. Part of it's weather related. Part of it is interest rate related. Part of it is that a lot of people who wanted homes may have purchased those homes. I will continue to argue, though, that there are millions and millions of people in their 20s and 30s who still don't want to live in an apartment, who may at some point get married and have children, and they want a home. And so the demographics, to me, continue to point to continued demand for housing. That doesn't mean the baby boomers and so forth, or Gen X, whoever the like people in their 40s and 50s are now, have to have two or three homes, but the demographics are still good for our industry. And as I've said, somebody's got to be around to do around $2 trillion of home loans. They're not all going through, you know, name a company. So still a good place, still a good business to be in.
Some notes in the chat and the Q&A about better.com. They're trying to raise private capital now, still doing business. Seems to be what's going on there. So, probably will be a little while before another mortgage company goes public, put it that way. But what else in the news this week to start the year? Oh my God, I just totally lost my thought here.
That's all right. I can show you some more baseball cards, Rich, if you want. You want to bring up like Willie Mays, Willie McCovey. Got all those guys.
Yeah, it was the construction. I mean, my general thought on this year is, I think, honestly, outside of new home sales, because of the obvious, you know, with just new builds and, you know, homes aren't being built that are affordable, still an issue we have not solved in this country that I you know, I've been saying it for a while now. I feel like government's going to be forced to deal with this issue, you know, on a more formal basis if it continues, you know. If you're not building any homes in America under 400,000, it does not take an economist to tell you that's going to create a problem when it was already a problem a few years ago. But outside of that, honestly, I think it's going to be a good year for housing. We have a lot of evidence now of a soft landing. Rates are starting to creep down. And
right.
I have a question.
I have a question for you.
Cool.
So where'd you get that nutrient on top of your head?
You know, all my money's been going to the house. I can't afford a barber anymore. I don't. Anyways, see, now you're going to make me lose my train of thought. Home builders, they're not in the speculation business, but if the expected movement of rates is downward, what have you heard about construction loans? Are people more likely, are these construction companies more likely to engage in them now that they think there's downward pressure on rates versus the last couple of years? Who wants to lock a 9-month rate lock when rates, you know, last year rose more than 3% over that period?
I'll chime in with that, with the answer to that, putting on my capital markets hat. And by the way, these boxes back here are filled with hedge reports and explanations of what Delta is and so forth. But the extended lock programs, Robbie, that I think you're talking about, that loan officers who are trying to get builder business will go back to their capital markets department and say, hey, we need to be able to hedge. We need to be able to offer a 9-month rate lock to builder ABC because I want some of their business. And so figure it out. And so the capital markets people are tasked with trying to figure out how to hedge something 9 months out when the to-be-announced market, the TBA market for mortgage-backed securities, typically goes out 3 months. And so there are kind of ways around that. You could use some treasury options and so forth and so on. But you'll notice that back, all the extended, whatever extended rate locks were in anybody's pipeline going into 2020 and the pandemic suddenly vanished because rates plummeted. And if you were locked in at 4 or 5% and you could get a 30-year fix at 2.75%, you're going to go that route. So all that whole extended lock pipeline vanished. And then heading into 2022, the opposite happened, that, you know, rates went up. And so suddenly, you know, these 9-month rate locks, companies got whacked with them, those who are offering those programs. So it's a very, it's definitely more of a marketing scheme in terms of these extended locks, you know, that you jack the price up in order to try to cover some of the risk, but it's more of a marketing thing for loan officers, which I understand, to try to get that builder business because a lot of these builders have their own lending arms. And so, you know, they do their thing. The interesting thing, Robbie, though, that I've seen pick up are some of the additional programs out there, especially from banks like construction to perm financing that they offer, or the, you know, the HELOCs that they offer. But the construction to perm programs are a big seller for depositories, you know, credit unions and banks who can offer that. So I've seen a real pickup there. And for independent mortgage banks to try to offer those programs, you know, it can be tough to find investors for them, but they are out there. What I wanted to ask Robbie about, switching gears here, I'm sorry, there's no easy way to lead into this, is I mentioned earlier in our show, Robbie, that you've been in this business half your life, started getting summer jobs when you were 15. And so you've seen a little bit about what's going on. What advice would you give to somebody out there? You know, it's fun to hire when your company's really hiring and trying to ramp up. It's not as easy to hire when your company's scaling back in certain areas and you're out there trying to get talent and hopefully younger talent. You don't want to hire some 75-year-old loan officer. You'd rather hire a 35-year-old loan officer, a 30-year-old loan officer. Any advice that you would give for companies out there who are trying to recruit somebody under the age of 40?
And you've heard of a decent amount of companies recruiting even in this environment?
I have job, you know, a few job ads every day in my commentary. You know, definitely selectively hiring and trying to, not only hiring, but gee, if they lose somebody who's of value, to try to bring somebody in of value to replace that person if they are really needed.
If you're talking higher talent individuals rather than a, no disrespect, an assistant processor or something like that. I think an important thing for millennials is a clear upward path, a mobility through the company. How can I grow? What role does this expand into? You know, I want to invest in this company like they're investing in me. Where does this eventually lead? And if it's not a role at this company, how does it help me leverage this into a different role and hopefully the mortgage industry? I could throw out quips like 401k match or free lunch or hybrid work schedule or remote, but those are pretty known. If you're talking talented individuals, I think a clear upward path that they can see when they join the company is very important.
Yeah, I think I obviously agree. I remember the first time I went into SoFi's offices several years ago, and you know they had the room was decorated with college banners, you know, from around the nation, and you know there were there was food in the lunchroom, like you could go there and get lunch. And so forth, and you know, bowls of peanut M&Ms and all kinds of cool stuff, and just the you could tell the vibe and the culture was something that attracted somebody who didn't necessarily want a big steel case desk with the potted palm in the corner and the Rolodex. Has that changed at all given COVID and more of a work from home environment? I know that MCT, I know that the company has different outposts, but from your friends who, would you say the majority of them are working from home now? The ones that are, do you think they want to go back into the office? Do you think that the pandemic has permanently altered the work landscape for somebody who, is in their 30s or 40s?
Hey, I miss drinking $30 of coconut water a day at SoFi. That was top notch. But I think some flexibility in your work is important. And the company I work for has given me that, where there's an office close to my house. We have in office days down at our San Diego headquarters once in a while. But as long as you get your work done, it's okay to be remote. I think other millennials appreciate that. And I don't necessarily feel the best equipped to comment on the return to the office, because you'll see in the news, Jamie Dimon comments, "Oh, everybody is coming back to the office this summer," or Tesla says, get back to the office. Varies a lot by company. And if you're trying to retain talent, you know, the most qualified individual for your role is in Reston, Virginia, and your company's based in Kansas City, and you're a bank that hasn't shut down yet in Kansas, then probably want to go with the person in Reston, Virginia, if they're going to give you better output rather than someone that's going to come into the office and not be as good of a contributor.
Some comments in the chat about companies still hiring, general anecdote. A lot of good, my opinion, good companies are always hiring. You know, it's like a good sports team. You're always looking to improve your roster and just a general best practice I've seen among successful companies. And a question in the chat about, do you think we'll see a surge in manufactured housing along with 3D printed homes? Is that a solve affordability and supply issues, manufactured, you'll see more of it just because the agencies are loosening their guidelines on it. And it's not what you think in a lot of cases. It's a very affordable way to build a home in a time where it's hard to do that. The 3D printed homes, Rob and Robbie, if you talk to our friend Jerry Howard, president of the National Association of Home Builders, he almost scoffs when you bring him up. You know, saying, "Hey, it's something, of course we're moving it forward, but realistically it's not going to be an impactful part of the market for some time." But any thoughts on manufactured housing, 3D printed homes?
I've interviewed a couple people that work at those companies or run those companies, and I think the biggest benefit, at least from a millennial perspective, is they're taking care of all the permitting, all the government stuff, like everything for you. And if they're going to be able to come into the market at a slightly lower price point because they're prefab or whatever they are, then that's appealing. And as my dad said earlier, it's not like these people that want to have families want to stay in their parents' basement for forever. You know, the demand is out there. It's about finding the right product at a reasonable price point to make that happen. And I think manufactured housing is a lot of the way there. 3D printing is a little beyond, you know, too futuristic for my taste here.
Rob, we never saw the surge of the ADU this year. Any shock there?
I was going to ask Robbie, though, manufactured housing. I'm a fan of manufactured housing, not the kind with license plates and a trailer hitch, but, you know, some factory built versus stick built. Does that matter to modern home buyers where it comes from, where it's built?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
What's so interesting over there?
Here?
Yeah.
Ernie Banks. That's what's interesting.
Oh, my. And Ernie. Oh, my God. The amount of money in your hands right now.
In my lap. In my lap. Yeah. Stunning.
It really is. Wow. That's, yeah. So.
I'll stop. But it is kind of fun. I haven't looked at these things in 10 or 20 years. It's kind of fun just to look at good old Sandy Koufax and Roberto Clemente and, you know.
What position were you in Little League? Not left.
Shortstop.
No, shortstop. Okay.
Little Pete Rose.
Oh, man.
You know? Anyway, shortstop. Robbie was a ace pitcher. So why do you ask? Or are you asking Rich? Because he's the wiffle ball king, Robbie.
I played third base, eventually left field and first base as I left my prime at 16.
You doctor up those wiffle
balls? I played highly competitive softball for like 10 years. That was really the biggest thing.
Does the spider tack sticky stuff work on softballs and wiffle balls too when you're trying to get a little extra spin rate on there?
Oh, with wiffle balls. I mean, it's highly policed at the World Series of Wiffle Ball with snipers on roofs and it. Yeah. So
Rich, Rob, you should know that Rich pulled a hamstring running out to the mound in a wiffle ball tournament.
Well, I think that's why they, that's why they had him at third base or first base. They knew his cardiovascular capabilities couldn't make it much further.
My first step was, yeah, a little limited. So,
all right. We're digressing quickly here.
So, getting towards the end of the show, anything else in the news that's struck you guys? Obviously, the Damar Hamlin, we haven't even brought that up. What a crazy week with that. Rob, I texted you. I was at the Donovan Mitchell 71-point game, which was one of – I watched LeBron's entire career and went to probably 10 games a year through the whole thing, and I've never seen anything like that. But that night, I start getting texts from friends like, oh, my – you know, and I'm watching this Mitchell game, and I just think it's some on-the-field injury. And then we get out of the game and the euphoria of that and then start to learn more about that. But what a roller coaster week, and what a happy ending. He's talking with teammates and – but what a ride of all of America. It feels like we're all on this roller coaster this week.
So I'm not smiling at the injury. I'm smiling at a comment about somebody thinking Robbie was a Backstreet Boy. where do we go from that? Yeah, it's really terrible. I guess he's continuing to recover, but slowly. And I don't think it's a combination of the NFL. I think the NFL has gotten safer as time has gone by, but it's just, holy smokes. You know, every once in a while there's a freak accident and you happen to be on camera, but there's a lot of freak things that happen. I remember Robbie and I know somebody who, what did Brian Maxwell invented? Power bar at Cal. Mm-hmm. And he was in his 40s or early 50s, and he was standing outside a post office in San Anselmo, Marin, and he collapsed dead from a heart attack. I mean, I think these things happen. They're just not always on a nationwide or worldwide stage. So not to take away anything. I mean, we all hope he recovers. But, yeah, these things happen. Anyway, I hope that he does, certainly.
And Robbie, you weren't on any Southwest flights this week. Bad week for Southwest. Good God, it
was a bad week. Although now the talk has turned to how many free flights can I get out of this if I had a ticket? So I think people are licking their chops a little bit there.
even Kevin McCarthy says it's been a rough week.
Yeah. None of this happened when George Santos was running the FAA.
Who? George Soros?
George Santos.
Oh, Santos. Okay. So
there's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of George Santos jokes running.
I know you contributed a lot to Soros's.
No, George Santos. This wasn't happening. This wasn't going on when he was Pope. Anyway.
First weekend of 2023 plans for the Chrisman fellas?
Robbie?
Pick up felled trees on my property, assess the damage. I think the power has been out since, it's been out for about 48 hours now, which is a bummer because my dad and I went to Costco last weekend and I got some steaks to put in my fridge. Power out, no estimated return from PG&E. Go out and assess the damage out there.
Barbecue.
Barbecue in the storm or in your
fireplace. What I've been doing, actually, I'm sorry to make this personal for a second. I've been having fires all day. And at the end, I pull the coals out, put my barbecue grill in the fireplace above the coals, then steaks. It's been.
That's yeah.
Tough. Very economical. That's good. Thrifty.
Nothing like cooking over an open flame in the cold. So
as long as there's not poison oak in the fire.
Rob, weekend plans?
Maybe I'll do some baking. I don't know. I got the Warriors game tomorrow night. Not much.
Get those cards graded.
Do what? Get those cards
graded. Not the cookie in the oven baking for any new show attendees there. Anyway, well, the first show of 2023, we're off and running. Here's hoping that this is a good year for the mortgage industry, and certainly should be a less volatile one than the one we got out of, and an encouraging start to the year. So this is the third year of this show. We're here every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, going for 30 to 45 minutes each week. The goal of the show is to keep you caught up on everything that happened during the week, to save you time. If you listen on podcast, when you're on the treadmill or working at your desk or watching us live on YouTube or after the fact, and working hard to, line the calendar up with a lot of great co-hosts, correspondents to keep everybody plugged into what the hell's going on in the mortgage industry this year. So Rob, overwhelming amount of chat on your card collection. I've never seen it this robust.
It's just in fuego. It's going viral. Somebody asked about Tom Seaver. I got Tom Seaver for you. I got some Tom Seaver for you here.
It is
somewhere. I'm not gonna make everybody waste their time waiting for me to bring up the Mets, 69 Mets, but somewhere around here. Anyway, I do have Tom Seaver somewhere.
Good stuff.
All right.
Good seeing you. Happy New Year. Rob, as always, we'll be in touch, and we'll see you all next Friday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Take care.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.